Hi, this is Jeff Siegel, wine curmudgeon, and you'll have to excuse me for laughing. I'm not laughing at my guest, Eric Orange, the founder and CEO of Local Wine Events. But Eric, we're recording this on Zoom, and I just had a computer voice tell me we started recording, which I have never heard before. Did you hear that over there?
I did, and I had a little pop-up that said I had to continue.
Oh, man, I tell you what, I want to go back to Skype. But that's only for cranky ex-newspaper men. Eric, thank you so much for agreeing to do this. Local Wine Events, this huge, big, massive listing of every single local wine event you could ever possibly want to go to. I've known you, gosh, almost since you started 20 years ago. You were a big help with us when we did Drink Local Wine. And then in March of 2020, something happened about local wine events. And what was that, Eric?
Well, COVID, coronavirus, call it whatever you want. Everything came to a screeching halt. Events were canceled everywhere. We had big events that we had sold tickets to the tune of $70,000 or $80,000. And I was so afraid that those event hosts had spent that money, had paid their vendors or was paying the bills because we were paying before the actual event itself. So all of a sudden, I'm looking at the possibility of I got to refund $70,000 worth of tickets to people, out of my own accounts. And that was a tough week. Fortunately, the three big ones that we had not spent the money. They had it all. They'd sent it all back, and we were made whole with that. So that in itself was a big relief. But, again, everything shut down. I mean, even now, there's a lot of restrictions on what you can do as far as event space goes. And so we're starting to see it. The mask mandate thing has started to open up some more possibilities. The wineries out west have been doing a number of outdoor things anyway. Some of them are really starting to generate some revenue and some ticket sales. So it's coming about. I think it'll be probably midsummer or fall before we really see the surge, but I do believe it's coming.
Okay, so let's talk about that in a second, surge, because I know when we were talking about what we were going to talk about that you'd mentioned you were optimistic. I'm kind of, one of the things that is fascinating about what you do is that, and the power of the internet, is you've got this thing localized to all 50 states. How many cities?
It's actually around the world, Jeff. We've been, I started the site with, I think, about 50 cities. I could go into that thought process if it's a long story, but I started the site, and then I realized, there's wine events going on everywhere. So we opened it up. It's worldwide. Now it's North America centric. I mean, it's, we get more Canadian and US events posted than anything else, but it's there. I mean, most people can use it from wherever they are. We use geolocation, so it knows where you're at. So when you log in, it's going to tell you the events for your area.
Gotcha. So the last 6, 8, 10 weeks, things have started to pick up a little bit.
Yeah.
What makes you optimistic, Eric? Because I've asked everybody this question that I've interviewed, whether for a podcast or whether a freelance story or whether for a post on the blog. What makes you think things are going to pick up? Can you give me some ideas about some reasons why you think people are eager, ready, and willing?
I just think that people are pent up. That it's been hard on everybody, restaurants in particular. I think people enjoy going out to restaurants and enjoy going out to wine tastings. The virtual tastings and the online wine education came along big when everything got shut down. But a lot of that was just, in my view, desperation. We tried it. We looked at it. We went to them. We had been in the process of rewriting our site in January. Had it all planned out, long, slow rebuild. Along comes March, and suddenly everybody's trying to do virtual wine tastings. And we were able to implement that into the site so that we could take them as a posting. Because previously we were strictly local. If you didn't have a local event venue, then we didn't have any real place to show it universally. So we fixed that. But I feel like people are just eager to get out. Especially I think out outdoors. Outdoor wine tastings, I think, are going to surge. I think restaurants are going to see a surge. I expect it's going to be a few more weeks before it starts hot and heavy. I think it has to do with both the mandate of the masks, which they're lightening up on, and the vaccination level. Of course, there's no way anybody's going to know if you're vaccinated or not, but I think that the majority of us get it and get comfortable with it. I think people are going to want to get out. I think this fall we'll see a big surge in events and opportunities to get out and socialize.
Do you see, you'd mentioned outdoor tastings. Do you see a couple of things that people are going to be looking for more than other things? Are there going to be restaurant related events, winery related events?
Well, I think wineries are going to be the first ones because of just the outdoor nature of it. The ability to be outdoors, walking around, tasting around. Some of the larger outdoor events, I think, will have good success. We had one that was going on in Maryland, St. Michael's Wine Fest, which is a gorgeous place to be. And they did a spring event every year, have for the last 10 or 15 years. I think those kind of things, it didn't go off this year because April was still a little too early. But I think that those kind of events are gonna be welcome. I think people are gonna go back into the restaurants a little more slowly, just because of the tightness. The social distancing is tough. I mean, it's tough on any restaurant, and certainly, there's no restaurant out there that has a business plan that could survive on 50% capacity. It just doesn't work that way. So, I think that eventually they're gonna move the tables closer together. They're gonna get people in, and again, as people get comfortable with the idea that the majority of people are vaccinated, I think it's gonna revert more or less to the way it was. There may be some different things going on with the virtual tastings. Have you tried it? Have you been to virtual tastings?
I've done a variety of virtual tastings, media related. I haven't done anything consumer related. And
we tried it. My wife and I tried several, just to see if, and in fact, we put one together ourselves, localwineevents.com. I thought it was a good idea. The two failings that I see in virtual tastings are having everyone have the same wine and some interaction. I mean, we watched a wine.com thing where it was just, two or three people talking about wine. I think, again, having the same wine amongst the group is pretty important as well. So I had this idea. We were going to try to go city specific with a virtual tasting. We picked Seattle. I had a contact up there who had done some events called the Female Women Stars of Food and Wine.
Right.
And so we decided we would use that format. We would get a female chef, a female winemaker, and a female sommelier in Seattle. We would only sell the tickets to Seattle, meaning, that's their local business. They can get the wine either locally or get it sent to them locally. And they, potentially could be customers of all three of these ladies' businesses. It was hosted by me, which I thought with, my 20 years in the business, maybe that would be a draw. It didn't work so well. We launched it first in Seattle, and I think I sold one ticket. And I was going to limit it. I was saying 30 people only. And then we were going to do breakouts so that they could visit with the winemaker, 10 people here, 10 people there. Had it all planned out. Launched it, I sold one ticket from the launch, started expanding from Seattle because we weren't getting enough interest out of the 5,000, 6,000 people we have in Seattle. And the winemaker said she would ship wherever. So then we opened it up to the US, and at the end we sold six tickets, and it was disappointing. And I canceled it. I was like, I'm not gonna bother anybody for six tickets. I mean, hours that we were sitting this thing. So we canceled it, and I still think that it wasn't a bad idea, but for whatever, I think people were zoomed out by then, to be honest with you. I think everybody jumped on that virtual tasting wagon, saw that it was kind of limited, and it went away. Online wine education, I think, has some potential to continue on, carry on. But I think the virtual tasting thing, the only way I could see a virtual tasting really working is if maybe it's your family group spread out across the country. And, you know, you have a sommelier who guides the family through a tasting while everybody can get the same wine. Or maybe business, corporate, you know, do a corporate thing. Get the sales group, you know, spread around the country and do something. But it seems really limiting to me to expect that that's going to go anywhere.
And I don't necessarily disagree with you. To be as nice as possible, one of the problems with media Zoom tastings is that there is no interaction, and as opposed to you're actually sitting there and you can ask the winemaker a question, and it's just more difficult. So you went from typically how many listings would you guys have
a week? We would have 5,000, 6,000 postings each week of current events that are coming up, and you know, sometimes we'd get 1,000 postings in a day. I mean, we were everywhere. And it was being well used. I, you know, part of the problem I think going forward is that a lot of the restaurants using my site may not be in business anymore. So that's going to put some limiting factors on us. But you know, those who are out there, they're going to want to do some stuff. They're going to want to get people in the door. So I'm hoping.
So you literally went from 5,000 listings a day to zero.
To zero. Yeah, I mean, there were weeks and weeks, months even when. We got virtual nothing posted, and you know, we stopped sending the juice initially. We have 300,000 subscribers to the newsletter. Fortunately, the majority of them have held on. We offered an option deposit if they wanted to, if they didn't want to see it every week when it was basically nothing. You know, we were able to start putting the virtual tastings in there, and we did get, you know, a lot of virtual tastings posted. You know, anybody who was doing wine education was looking for a way to make money. I mean, they, you know, suddenly their ability to generate income went to zero. And so there were a lot of those initially. We got a lot of those postings initially. But again, we were sending that out every week, and people were saying, I don't want to do virtual, I don't want to see this. We offered to pause. And again, a lot of them just paused it for 3 months and then came back. And we're under 300,000 at this point, but the majority of them have stuck around. And like I said, now that we're starting to see some real events being posted, you know, the interest will be back.
I think that might actually be a good indication of what you're calling pent-up demand, that when people didn't get your newsletter, they did want to get it again when things started to get better and they were looking for stuff to do. So that might say something. Let's talk a little bit about restaurants, because you've got a really unique perspective. Are we going to see more wine events from restaurants going as we come out of the pandemic?
That's hard to say. I mean, we had really a pretty good bunch of events going on always. I mean, you know, restaurants have recognized the value of those for a long time. Winemakers getting out in the markets and doing their winemaker dinners have always been popular. You know, I it's hard to say if we're going to actually see an increase. There might be more spirits events, you know, single malt scotch tastings, you know, things like that. We've seen a number of those, but I think that there may be an increase in those specialized spirits tastings. I think that some, you know, educational kind of events where you get a little food and you get, you know, single malt, single barrel bourbons, things like that. I think we will see an increase in those kind of things for sure. It's hard to imagine. Again, you know, it'd be hard for me to guess how many restaurants went under, but you know, it's a lot. You know, so from that standpoint, you know, you're going to have a pent up demand, increase in interest in doing it, and a lot less available venues. So it could very well be for those who managed to make it through. It could be that they see a big interest in that as well. I would think so.
So what, Eric? What do you see? If I'm a consumer, what's the ideal event I'm going to be looking for end of this summer, beginning of the fall, when hopefully everything is more or less back to normal? What would be if I'm a restaurant, if I'm a winery, what would be the ideal event to hold from your vast experience and knowledge?
I think for sure outdoors is a good thing. I think people are going to be a lot more comfortable in the beginning with outdoor events. So, you know, whether it's a backyard patio or a winery, you know, set up outside with tents and stuff, I think those are going to be the first and foremost with the interest of returning crowds. Restaurants themselves, you know, winemaker dinners have always been popular. You know, if you've got Duck Horn or you know, any of those cake bread, Dennis Cake Bread's out there, you know, then he's still doing it. You know, so, you know, I mean, those things I think will retain their popularity. And you know, again, with a short number of venues, I think that they could potentially have, you know, sell out crowds for at least through the fall, until things really start to sort of gel back again. I think it will return to a more normal existence after time.
Okay. Well, that's a great way to stop on this. Eric, give me the URL. Tell me how people can sign up to get the juice, which is your weekly email effort.
Right. It's www.localwineevents.com, all one word, localwineevents.com. And you have the option to sign up for the juice, our newsletter. The juice goes out every week. It shows you what's coming up for the next 30 days for your area. Again, we know where you're at by the geolocation, so you don't have to opt for any particular area. But if you have an interest in some place you're traveling to or another place you visit, then you can also opt for that newsletter as well. You know, we've been going strong for 20 years. I think we're gonna come back with some real strong content within the very near future.
Okay. Well, listen, Eric, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm glad things are starting to pick up. Thanks very much for doing this.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks for having me on.
This is Jeff Siegel, the Wine Curmudgeon. Thanks for listening. So long until next time.